Deuteronomy in a portion here. Deuteronomy 29:10. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures here before we close it. Deuteronomy 29:10 and 29:18. Ten says, you are standing today, all of you, before Yahweh your Elohim, the heads of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, all the men of Israel. 18. Beware lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from Yahweh our Elohim, to go and serve the gods of those nations. And I looked at the word turning and standing. That's the ones we're going to focus on. And I looked at the word turning as drifting. You know, your heart's turning away from the things of God, or drifting away from the things of God. We heard it said that if we stand for nothing, we'll fall for anything. It's been said many times. So we'll stand or we'll drift. We have a choice. We can stand or we can drift. And I have a question. Are we standing or drifting when it comes to the things of God, the things of Yahweh? While I was going over this, I was reminded of a guy that used to live in a village, a Vietnamese guy by the name of Nam. We all called him Nam. I don't know what his real name was. Everybody knew him as Nam. Anyway, he during Hurricane Katrina, he got stuck down here, and he rode the storm out. And no, we didn't know this. We thought everybody left. But you know, he tried to get gas. He went up to he went as far as he can go before he ran out of gas to see if he can get gas, and he couldn't. So he went back home. Well, long story short, the storm started pounding on Venice, and before he knew it, he was hanging on to the electric pole at the top for dear life. Water done riz, and so he's at the top. And we got an opportunity to talk to him. He finally got rescued, and they brought him to home at a shelter. And we seen him there, so we brought him over to where we were staying, and he told us the story. All right, and he said he was holding on for dear life on his pole at the top. And he seen stuff passing him by, boats, different stuff. And he said he knew he couldn't stay there because he was afraid something would hit him. So he let go. And it just so happened when he let go, they had a big tire in a rim that was passing by. And he grabbed it. And I'm like, you know, he's telling this story and I'm thinking about this. I'm like, of all things to grab or to be floating by is a tire in a rim. You know, what about a nice big life jacket? You know, but it was a rim. So he grabbed onto this rim for dear life, and he said that's all he could remember is, you know, going up and down. And every time he realized he was up, because it was daylight, every time he realized he was above the water, he would take a deep breath until finally he made it ashore. You know, it's the same thing with us spiritually when we're drifting. You know, sometimes we'll try and cling on to anything. And that anything is never good. And, you know, we'll cling on to things as long as it's not an extreme. And I'll explain to you what I mean. You know, Whenever Nam was, whenever he let go of that pole and he was drifting, he didn't grab onto a boat. That'd be extreme, right? What we do in a boat when it's sinking? We get out, right? So that'd be pretty extreme for him to get in the boat, right? So to us, when we're drifting and we cling on to things, as long as it's not labeled demonic, as long as it's not written all over it, we're fine with it most of the time. But it doesn't mean it's good, because it's the subtle things that get us. We'll cling on to them things that we think, and sometimes we even know, that they're not good. We'll know that it's not good, but we'll cling on to it because it doesn't look as bad, because demonic's not written all over it, you know, because I'm a believer. I don't want people to think that I'm into demonic stuff. But what's the difference? If it's not good, it's not good. And when we're drifting, you know, I used to get this picture, you know, we're drifting down. And I'm talking about spiritually. You know, whenever we're spiritually drifting from the things of God, you know, I used to picture this nice, calm stream, you know, we're drifting. But there's nothing calm about it. There's a war that's raging on the inside of us. It's not calm. There's waves crashing. It's a crazy environment because there's a war going on the inside of us. Paul says it this way. He says we don't fight against flesh and blood as much as we try to. We try to make things work. We try to figure them out. But to no avail. He said, well, we don't fight against them things. We fight against spirit. We don't fight against flesh and blood. But against wickedness and spiritual things. That's what we fight against. We can drift. You know, there's two ways we can drift. All right, we can drift as a church. You know, we've been there. We can drift as a church, but we can drift in our personal walk with Christ. We can drift there too. A lot of times when we drift as a church is by man's tradition and doctrines. We go off of man's traditions and doctrines that we were taught. But we're supposed to check that stuff, right? We know that now because we check it. So we don't get caught up in that again because God's taking us out of that. It doesn't make us any better than anybody else. You know, we should never get that idea because we all part of the body of Christ. We just learn at different times different things. And a personal drift is lack of time invested in Scripture and intimacy with the Father. It's the times that we lack in that is whenever we drift. Because we know we should be doing it, but we don't. And this is what I used to pray this all the time. Lord, give me a passion to study Your Word. And I'm not saying not do it, but what it really takes is discipline. We have to have discipline. Because we got to do something, right? We're praying for it, and God is going to do His part. But what about us doing our part? It takes discipline on us to pick up the Bible, to read, and to spend time with the Father. The farther we are from Yahweh, the more we are impressed with people. The closer we are to Yahweh, the less we are impressed with people. The more we grow and mature, the less impressed we are about what we see with our natural eyes. My point is, We should be more impressed with the things of God than any man or woman that walks this planet, or any government system or anything. We should be more impressed with that, with God and His ways, because His ways are right, His ways are pure, and His ways is going to take us to eternal life. When we're drifting, the things that impress us the most is what we're going to cling to. The things that impresses us the most is what we'll cling to. You know, Nahum clung to that tire with everything that was in him. I don't know how that guy made it. He drifted about 2 miles on it. Not drifted. I mean, he was tossed to and fro. But you know what got him to safety? It was the grace of God. And he even said it. Whenever he got done telling the story, he looked up and he said, "I know there's a God." And he pointed up. And for that guy to say that, because I went in his house and they had all kind of stuff in there. But for him to say it, it was incredible to hear. But he said, "I know there's a God." The reason why we made it, because of the grace of God. No doubt about it. When we were drifted, we made it back because of the grace of God. We're going to look at a few subtitles that was in a portion, and two of them I merged together. It's repentance and forgiveness, and salvation and foreigners. So he's talking about the first one, repentance and forgiveness. He's talking about Israelites, born-again believers. Salvation for foreigners, that's obvious. It's the unsaved, because he said salvation for the foreigners. When it comes to be a follower of Yeshua, I travel with 2 tackle boxes. How many is familiar with tackle boxes? I know all the fishing guys are. I carry around 2 tackle boxes as a follower of Yeshua. And there's a reason. Each one has their purpose. Each one has their purpose. The first one, I have a tackle box, and I call it evangelism. It's my tackle box. And that specific tackle box is geared towards Jesus and the kingdom of God, because it's evangelism. And it's geared towards it. The second one is fellowship. And this tackle box is geared towards sharpening one another, like the scripture says, iron sharpens iron. Right, so this is 2 different ones that we have to have. Let me explain before y'all shout me down. As a fisherman, right, we have to make sure that we have the right bait. Right? You can go out there. I was out yesterday. I seen fish all over the water. Nice red fish swimming all over. They had smaller ones underneath. I couldn't get the big red fish to bite for anything. Caught a couple, but I caught about 30 small reds. So I tried different bait. I couldn't find the right bait. Maybe they just wasn't biting. I don't know. But as a fisherman, you have to have the right bait. The reason why you have to have the right bait, because we don't want to scare people off. Just like fishing. You don't want to scare the fish off. And there's a way we can scare folks off. So we have to be careful that we have the right bait. You know, as a believer in going through these new changes, not everybody's going through these changes. So we have to be careful how we approach people with it, because we can scare them off. You know, the stuff that I talked to Brother Josh, Brother Chad, Pastor, you know, the guys in here, I'm not going to go and have a conversation with somebody who's not born again. Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to scare them off. You know, so I'm careful whenever I have guys on the boat, I'm careful what I say. I have to make sure that I have my evangelism toolbox working. Because if I put on the other one, I can possibly scare them off. Because the other one's a lot different. It's two different baits. The other one's a lot different. We don't want to scare them off because what Jesus said we are. He said that we're fishers of men. So a fisherman, you have to have bait. You don't go out without bait. If you do, you better turn around because you're not going to catch anything. We got to have bait. But we have to make sure we have the right one. We're going to look at another one. It's the choice of life and death. It's obvious that if someone chooses life, he or she will live. And if someone chooses death, he or she would die. Because it's in our control, right? If I want to die, I can die. If I want to live, I can live. I have a question. It's going to be a silly one, all right? How many folks in here want to die? I didn't think so. I didn't think anybody wanted to die. But yet, there's times that we don't stick to our end of the covenant and we set ourselves on a one-way road to spiritual suicide. You know, we're scared of the physical death. That's the one we shouldn't be afraid of. We got it mixed up. We should be afraid of the spiritual death. We should be frightened and do everything in us to make sure that we don't drift and get on a road to spiritual death. I'm going to read this in closing. I was going over some things and I found this. I usually don't do anything like this, but you know, whenever I read it, I was thinking, you know, is there anything I should take out? Is there anything I can put in? And what it did for me, and I believe it'll do for some in here, is all of these feasts, it brings it all together and explains to us why we do it. Because there's a reason. And this guy gives a story. I don't know who the guy is, but he gives a story in here, too, about... Well, I'll just go ahead and read it. Let me see if I could find that word. I didn't know what this word was. Mucking. He says, I was mucking our barn. Everybody knows what mucking your barn means? Okay. I'll just say it just in case because I didn't know. It's cleaning the horse manure out or the cow, whatever's in there. Spiritual suicide happens to a person who experiences an event that causes him to walk down the wrong road. Like physical suicide, spiritual suicide does not happen overnight. A person who commits spiritual suicide often does so without even fully realizing what is happening in his spiritual life. The choices a person makes in his everyday life affects his spiritual well-being. If a person picks up a bad habit or a mindset in which his actions are spiritually detrimental, then eventually such a person will die. He will die little by little as he continues to make wrong and bad choices. Recently, I was mucking our barn. As I was mucking it, it occurred to me that as manure piles up in the stalls over time and must be continually cleaned out, So too does the manure of life build up inside of us and needs to be cleaned out from time to time. This is what Yahweh has done and provided for us the yearly festival cycle. He has given to us a cycle in which if one walks in a pleasing manner before his Creator, then all those things that would poison a person are continually cleaned out of his mind and heart. Three times during a year, all males are required to appear before Yahweh. By implication, this also includes women. Those three times are the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Each festival contains the opportunity to examine ourselves in preparation to appear before Yahweh. Yahweh wanted to make sure that our personal stalls in our minds and hearts are mucked out frequently so that the muck of life does not build up to an unmanageable level and overwhelm us. When one does not properly clean out his life, but just allows things to build up, one begins to commit spiritual suicide. Instead of dealing with things in a proper manner, one simply pushes them aside and ignores them. Eventually, something will give, and all that muck will come pouring out of the person, and those around him will be hurt, or he will hurt himself. That is one facet of how spiritual suicide happens in a person's life. Another is the very world in which we live. The world in which we live is spiritually dead. Furthermore, it attempts to make all who live in it spiritually dead as well. This world cannot tolerate anything with good spiritual life. The world continually heaps upon each and every person muck in an attempt to bury him or her alive in the filth of this world. Please do not misunderstand me at this point. The filth of this world not only consists of all that which the world labels as filth, but also all that which Yahweh considers being filth as well. The very nature of this world is filthy. The very order of this world consists of being in opposition to Yahweh and His kingdom. When one understands this truth, he will be able to see the lure of this world for what it truly is, spiritual filth. It is the partaking of this spiritual filth which will cause one spiritual death. If a person is continually pursuing the things of this world, he is in fact committing spiritual suicide. If a person is continually giving to his body and mind and heart that which it craves, he is killing himself spiritually. Spiritual strength comes from self-denial. No person just all of a sudden wakes up one day and decides to end his own life. It happens over time. Likewise, a person does not rob himself of spiritual strength with one single decision. Rather, it happens when a person continually chooses to give self that which it craves without any regard to the eternal consequences of those choices. So when I read that, it made a lot of sense to me, and it brought all of this together while we have these feast days to cleanse us, you know, and get all the muck out. You know, it doesn't mean we shouldn't do it during the year, but this is special times that God has set aside to do it. So I think God's better at doing it than us at these special times, because He sets them there for a reason. And I think it's for us to come together and do that what He called us to do. And so He can clean all the muck out of our life, because it bogs us down. And look, we don't want to be bogged, especially at a time like this. We shouldn't be. We just came out of the feast days. Nobody should be bogged down. If we are, it's because we came without a receiving heart. And we should come every service ready to receive something from God. And we should wake up every day ready to receive from God and do what He's called us to do. Well, that's all I have. Thank everybody for coming out.